Good morning, afternoon, or good evening. We're back to Art and Words with your hosts, Avery, Reagan, and Trinity. In today's podcast, we'll be covering the topic of gender neutrality in the toy world. To begin, we'll be diving into the history of toys and how they functioned in the past.
To the 1950s, toys were originally assigned by gender. The roles of gender during that time heavily influenced how toy companies created and sold their products. On one hand, gender roles were still stressed in everyday life, so there were no protests about equality. People expected the woman to take care of the house and children while the husband worked to make the money. Feminist movements for equality had not yet taken root, which made it more acceptable for toy marketers to create a toy for a girl, which was based around domesticated values, and a toy for a boy, which was based on building trade skills, which would help them get used to work. These toy sets would be sold in world-renowned stores like Sears, using slogans like "Sears knows what little girls like" to emphasize what they should like, that they should like cooking, cleaning, sewing, or taking care of children.
Past the 20s, heading more towards the 50s, new toy entities were introduced. Unlike the previous toy companies like Lego and Disney offer toys that were supposed to be for both genders, or no gender at all. They took the toy world by storm, promising what everyone assumed would be some equality in toys. However, we got the opposite of their promises. Disney, for example, even had a site which gave the option of searching for toys which are for girls or for boys, but not both. They weren't able to market their toys with a neutral stance and still segregated or separated the toys.
Hey guys, we're back, and for all you new viewers out there, welcome to Art and Words, a podcast which discusses difficult topics and provides different points of views. We ask questions, we dig through sources, and we find common ground at the end. Let's begin. Why did gender roles with toys weaken while other movements to get equality and unity strengthened?
Elizabeth Sweet, author of Guys and Dolls No More, she dove into the topic of toys being based off of gender being just as bad as toys being based off of ethnicity, of race. If people saw toys segregated, as Elizabeth called it, by race and ethnicity, there would be riots in the street. People would burn down corporate headquarters and protest these vile marketing habits and practices. Quite rightfully so, Elizabeth is asking us, why are we allowing ourselves to turn a blind eye to the fact that this is happening? Only, rather than segregated races, it's segregated genders. In theory, the consequences should be nearly the same. However, in practice, as the public has expressed, there are no consequences. The reason why other movements outside of the toy industry were so strong was because of the fact that people were doing something. No one cared that someone was labeling toys as girl toys or boy toys because it had very little relevance to them, the adults who could make change. With nothing being done about it, toy companies have continued to market off of this gender schism.
Similarly, Jason Ankeny, in his article, How Gender-Targeted Marketing is Hurting Toy Retail, further supports this idea that toy companies have not progressed by talking about the recent lack of female characters in comic-related action figures. Experts say that decisions to minimize female characters across licensed toy lines like Star Wars and Avengers reflect a larger industry trend of marketing toys expressly for either boys or girls, but not both. In fact, some contend that retailer toy aisles are more gender-defined now than in previous decades, when sexism and discrimination were more prevalent throughout the culture at large. This is unfortunate to see that gender schism in toys was not a major focus in the past, leading it to become so divided today. Now that it is realized how crucial it is to implement open-mindedness and equality to younger generations through toys, companies like Hasbro, DC Entertainment, and Marvel are receiving their deserved backlash.
You know, I believe that it became this competition between the genders as who deserves more, so much so that the genders kind of resented each other, and this belief that boys and girls couldn't possibly play and be interested in the same things became apparent. Toy companies were booming in sales because there was a toy that only girls got to play with, and in a way, that was special. it was like, ha, I have something you don't. And because more often than not, parents had both a boy and a girl child, and were having to buy both versions of the same toy. Companies were making such a good profit off of this, but when people were given more rights to make everyone equal, the number of people that disagreed with equality became more vocal, and there became more of a need for separate toys instead of a desire.
Another closely related topic to the issue of gender neutrality in toys, or the lack thereof, is how it affects children psychologically. A child's mind can be easily influenced by their environment. So, how do you two think toys are affecting them?
Before answering this, let's go over gender neutrality and what it actually means. In her 2016 article, Target Will Stop Labeling for Boys or for Girls, Good, Rebecca Haynes explains how a real cultural shift has begun to arise in the toy market regarding gender. One of those shifts being the outrage between consumers, more specifically the parents, due to the misunderstanding of gender neutrality in this context. The main goal of gender neutrality and gender neutral toys being put into the marketplace is not to make males and females the same or ban certain toys like Barbie and G.I. Joe during Australia's #NoGenderDecember, but rather give children another option to play with so they can better express themselves, as well as make a better sense of their place in the world around them and the future roles available to them, something which previous generations' toys had trouble defining. Gender-neutral toys not only enable more equality between the genders, but are also way more focused on brain development and problem-solving skills. Take puzzles and board games, for example, because companies don't have to fit their product into a mold to match girls' or boys' toys. No wonder classic games like marbles, chess, and Mancala are such a hit. Now, don't get me wrong, some boys' toys and girls' toys are really great and should be available as well. But when toy companies are not creating a middle ground where toys are not divided into groups, pink and blue, that will cause more harm to a child because companies are trying to tell kids that what they should or should not like. Toys are supposed to be played with, not labeled.
To go off of that, I know of Lauren Spinner, an author who wrote about children's behavior with stereotypical toys in front of various situations, and what I gathered from her analysis is that children see in a very black and white way, meaning that children will act the way they think they should based on what they see other children do and what they are told by adults. Spinner said that children exposed to counter-stereotypic peers were more flexible in their attitudes towards what other children could play with. So if you tell a girl she can play with dolls, she will, maybe because she wants to, or maybe because she thinks she's supposed to. In the same article, it's revealed that kids will play with the same toys that they see similar kids to them play with. It's because they are so easily influenced at a young age. Kids aren't as capable of saying what's right and wrong. They just know what they see growing up. And who are we to tell them what they want? But overall, the article and research proves that children are highly influenced by their surroundings, and depending on what that environment is, it affects the choices he or she makes in the future.
Children's minds can be easily influenced by the world around them, and their toys are not excluded from this fact. The environment that is being set for children today is crucial to young development health-wise, and not only to their health, but the benefits of growing up and being able to process what they perceive creatively. When adults make decisions in the toy industry that influence gender roles or gender neutrality, they are essentially influencing the children themselves. It's an important decision that needs to be made by adults qualified to make such decisions.
Now that we have discussed the effects of gender neutrality, let's talk about what is seen in its near future. Due to the rising demand for gender neutrality, can toy companies potentially spark long-term change in gender stereotyping?
There is actually a Swedish toy company, Top Toys, that made the would-be-considered risky choice of promoting all their toys being played with both boys and girls. They have gone completely gender neutral, and it's pretty much setting the standard. Their goal for the change in advertisement is to inspire other companies to do the same, because it only takes one. Top Toys' motto is that their toy is not a boy or a girl toy, it's a toy for children, as it should be. The company received backlash in the past for stereotypical ads, so for their holiday catalog they decided to switch it up, and it seems to be doing them some good. I mean, if one country across the world can take a stand and make a difference, then why can't everyone? Why can't we? Long-term change is possible, but the only way it can be done is for toy companies to believe that it works. Pride is the only thing getting in the way, but what toy companies need to realize is that this isn't about them, it's about the consumer. And why wouldn't they want to appeal to all possible consumers? I mean, that's just smart business.
The changing culture around us makes it pretty hard to believe that something as simple as toys has sparked another controversy. In truth, gender stereotyping is and has always been deeply rooted in society, something primordial to the 21st century's movements for equality. In his article, Beyond Pink and Blue, The Quiet Rise of Gender-Neutral Toys, Jason Bainbridge discusses the changes companies are making to include both genders in their products. In another view of gender neutrality, Bainbridge opens with a note about how Star Wars' new main character, Rey, began a new practice for companies by being put on a gender-neutral shelf, so the toy could not represent boys or girls. Similarly, other toy companies stopped marketing toys explicitly for boys or girls and were beginning to include both genders when they marketed, created, or sold their toys. This spark of change has been able to spread from not only toy company to toy company, but other franchises including Netflix and other interested industries who are willing to get the word out about gender neutrality. In contrast to what Trinity said about some countries who are completely seeking to change the toys that a specific gender is playing with, for example, a girl playing with a dragon or a boy playing with a hairstylist set, toy companies are trying to be inclusive of both genders by making alternate toys like a wide variety set of Ken dolls for boys and girls to play with, or famous female action figurines.
Today's society is generally based on gender stereotypes, so it is going to take a lot more effort from activists as well as cooperation from companies to create a long-term change. In spite of this, many companies like Target are helping begin that progress, so there is hope for the future of a society not judged or based largely on gender. Even with all of this controversy, I believe we will be able to enable the most long-lasting change if we bring the issue down to its roots, between the parent and child. Parents need to better understand what this movement is about before they create their opinion, but more importantly, just let their child choose the toys, clothes, bed sheets, whatever they like, as well as implement the idea that they can go in the boy aisle, the girl aisle, or whatever sparks or brings joy to them. If we break down this stigma with the encouragement and effort from the parent, then companies will take notice and cater to the new normal, gender neutrality.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Let us know what you think about today's topic in the comments below. And if you have any future topics you'd like us to cover, shoot our staff an email at artandwords@gmail.com, and we'll review your suggestions.
Once again, if you'd like to continue to listen to our content, subscribe and get reminders for when we release our new podcast.
Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for another topic. This has been Avery, Reagan, Trinity, and Art and Words.